All right, Saturday morning, back doing the co-stream. We've got the great John Chapman in the house, co-streaming on both channels. We're going to tackle the Niners offseason. What comes first? Why don't we start right there? What comes first for the Niners? Let's go. All right, back by popular demand, the great John Chapman. We're co-streaming again on a Saturday. Welcome to the Krug Show meets the John Chapman 49er Rush podcast experience. Hope everybody's having a great Saturday. Welcome. Brought to you by Pig in a Pickle. The best barbecue in all of Northern California is Pig in a Pickle. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're soon to open in Petaluma. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Thanks to, of course, Sleeper. We'll get more into them in a bit. Thanks to Habas Law, the great Habas Law firm that sponsors the Krug Show. And the Krug Show is getting ready to go boots on the ground in Arizona. We'll be road tripping to spring training for a little golf and a little baseball Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So if you're in Arizona and you see us filming, stop by, say hello, maybe get yourself a Krug Show t-shirt. There we go. We'll have some merch.
I want a Krug Show t-shirt. I got to get one of these bad boys, man.
Oh, I know. Seriously.
I got to represent. I'm not doing my job over here.
Kev, note to self, let's get Chapman a Krug Show shirt. I'm a 2XL man myself. They come in 2X, 1X, L, M, and S.
I want that 1X. I want that 1X.
The 1X for Chaps. All right, we got that done. We got that done. It's coming your way. We'll get your address and get it out to you. Look who's in the house, back by popular demand. The great John Chapman, everybody. All right, come on. You guys got more than that. Come on, it's Chapman.
Thank you. All right.
He will not be signing any objects today, flat, round, or otherwise. So don't pepper him on his way to his vehicle. Seriously, what happens is these streams get so big, and then John's walking to his car, and he can't get out. Maybe he wants to go skiing. Maybe he wants to go hang with the family, and he can't get to his car. He's like Christian McCaffrey trying to pull out of the Niner facility, signing all those mini helmets. You know, as
me
he's
and
driving.
Christian McCaffrey have so many things in common. It's unreal, Larry.
I'll tell you, if I was a pro athlete, I'd have a real basic signature. It'd just be like one line. It'd be like a big L and just a line.
I don't know if you've seen Mikael Williams, who shout out to the rookie, but his signature is exactly that, and it is incredible. Every awesome. Time I see it, I'm just like, that's pretty awesome.
Sometimes I'll see signatures. I'll be like, dude, are you serious? That's the signature? It's like, it's what is awesome. This guy, a doctor? Anyway. All right, we titled the stream 49ers First Move. Who does San Francisco need to target this offseason? John, I'll throw it to you to start us off this morning. What needs to be the 49ers' initial strike? Do you have a strategy, or are you just going random? Let's fill a need. They've got a need. Here it is.
I think because of the calendar, right? Like, obviously, you have, you know, free agency hits before the draft, and you got the draft, and then you kind of shore up any major needs. But the very first kind of transactional calendar date in the NFL calendar is upon us. The franchise tag. And the 49ers have one and only one guy that kind of is even close to that conversation. Now, I actually don't want to franchise tag this player. I want a 3-year deal, probably about $15 million. Eddie Pinheiro, baby. The very first thing that I think the Niners should do, chronologically speaking, shore up the kicker. I would argue Eddie P was the best kicker in the NFL last year. He missed a couple games, didn't come on till week two. But just the fact that you could lock him up. The franchise tag is about $6 million per year. He's 31 years old. Give him a 3-year, $15 million deal. Lock up that kicker. Never draft a kicker or punter ever again, ever again, ever again. Lock this dude up. My first order of business, take care of Eddie P.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I thought maybe you would go with, you know, restructure or a cutting of Bryce Huff. I thought
it's on the list.
That could have been there. a preemptive strike, if you will, to, you know, somehow change the dynamic of their offseason, I thought could have been in the offing. I'm going to go with the last thing I heard. Okay. I'm not a, you guys know me. I'm a longtime Niner fan, became a longtime Niner media guy. I'm not a journalist. People are like, you know, that I don't know about your journalistic integrity, Krug. I do. I don't have any journalistic integrity because I'm not a journalist. And anybody who does this or does radio and thinks they're a journalist needs to be explained what journalism is. We're not journalists. We're editorialists. We give opinions. I'm not a journalist. I'm an editorialist. I give you my opinions. So if you're like, yeah, you know, I don't know about your journalistic integrity, I have none. I'm not a journalist. I've made way too much money in my life to be a journalist. Okay. I do not write in a journal. All right. What's the Eminem song? You know, don't call me a band. We don't have no instruments. You know, I mean, you know, it's one of my favorite, my new favorite songs that my kid has turned on to me. The Band. I like The Band. anyway, so I'm not a journalist. I'm an editorialist. But the last time I was, you know, in the last couple of weeks, I traveled with the Niners, right? I went to Seattle for the playoff game. I went to Philly with the playoff game. When I say travel with the Niners, it wasn't like it was me and Nick and Fred all sitting in the final row. It was, you know, they went, and then I just found out where they were going, and I followed them there. So I'm not sure if I really traveled with the Niners as much as I traveled following the Niners, but you guys get me. So I was in Philly. I was in Seattle, and obviously I was around a lot of Niner people, and I had a Niner person. And I don't break stories, right? Like, I give you my opinions. We do these streams. I give you videos. If I do have a story that someone tells me, I will break it, but I'm not looking to break it. And I'm not sitting there going, I got to be first. I don't care about being first, second, or third. I really don't. That's not my lane. I'm not Tom Pelissero. I'm not Rap Sheet. I'm not trying to be one of those guys. I don't want to break stories. That's not why I got into this. I'm giving you my opinions. Hopefully they're expert opinions. And I'm giving you lots and 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 lots of content every single day, all season long. And it's
impressive how much content you give, Larry.
Right. It's impressive. Credible, Johnny, right? I want everybody else. We want it to be credible. It's not like we're trying not to be credible. I'm just saying I'm breaking stories lane. You guys know that. So if I break anything, it's like totally by sheer happenstance. Somebody told me. But I will share because I care about you, the audience, the Niner fan. I know you guys want to know. I see you at the grocery store. I see you at Dick's Sporting Goods. I see you at Kohl's. I see you, Niner fans. And more importantly, you see me because you keep coming up to me and saying, pig in a pickle? I'm like, actually, my name's Larry, but pig in a pickle's fine. Nice to meet you. I get that actually kind of a lot. Pig in a pickle? Would you call me anyway? A guy shared with me, hey, you know what, Krug, I know you're all over this stuff. Look for Ricky Pearsall and Renardo Green to be traded in the offseason. Well, I get it. I understand though. That doesn't make a lot of sense on the surface, right? Because you don't trade guys on rookie contracts. Why would you? They're assets on rookie contracts unless there's an issue or issues. So I shared that with you guys on a number of occasions between, you know, that point and today. And lots of people are like, he's making it up. He hates Ricky. He doesn't like Renardo. He's rooting for trades. He's making shit up. I don't dislike anybody, and I'm not making anything up. I actually kind of like those guys. I'd keep them, but I was told those guys could be moved this offseason and look for it. So I'm going to start right there. I got two trades to kick off the Niners offseason, and here they would be. I'm sending Ricky to Jacksonville, straight up trade for Brian Thomas Jr. Straight up trade. Ricky goes back to a place where he's comfortable, where he played his college ball, Florida. The Niners get a true X outside boundary receiver with a little bit more size. Mac Jones gets one of his favorite receivers back. He had a very nice little run there with Brian Thomas, whether Mac's here or not. But, you know, change of scenery, guys. They're both good players. They both need a change of scenery. So I'm flipping those guys to start. My second trade is I'm trading Renardo Green, and it's against my better judgment because I really believe in Renardo Green. I think he's a pretty good player. And I wouldn't trade him. I would develop him. But there is a market for him. It's pretty obvious that Shanahan has grown tired of him. I was told with Renardo, hey, man, his personality just doesn't fit. Doesn't fit in the room. Doesn't really engage much with his teammates. Kind of aloof. Good player, but may just not be a fit. Had some bad moments with the Niners. Some disagreements. A little stubborn, maybe. Not going to fit. So I think he's on the move. And the Niners need a lot. So they can be very open-minded about what they get coming back. You know who wants a good young corner right now? The Green Bay Packers. And the Green Bay Packers have a defensive lineman in Devontae Wyatt that they really is coming off a down year. And from what I heard, he could be a change of scenery candidate out of Green Bay. So there you go. Another change of scenery for another change of scenery. You send the Niners Devontae Wyatt. He slots in as the third tackle, more of a pass rusher next to Collins and West. And the Niners have their three tackle deal set up in the middle. And the Packers get a reliable, you know, man coverage corner that they can plug in outside and you know, play him. Once again, two change of scenery trades. One brings Brian Thomas Jr., the other brings Devontae Wyatt. What do you think?
One, the wide receiver swap, that happened a lot, but good Lord, the 49ers need an X in the worst of ways. You drafted Ricky Pearsall with the understanding you're going to have Ayuk long-term. Ricky Pearsall was going to take Debo's role at the Z wide receiver. That was just the way it was going to work out. It was all planned. But then Ayuk does Ayuk things. So now you don't have an X. The good news is this draft is full of X wide receivers. However, rookie wide receivers and Kyle Shanahan don't necessarily mix very well either. If you could get Brian Thomas Jr., I would be willing to give up Ricky Pearsall and probably like a third or a fourth round to get Brian Thomas Jr. I know he had a down year last year, but that is a major, 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 major need. I would argue the biggest need on the team, on the entire roster, offense, defense. That X wide receiver is just a void right now. Jordan Watkins, you like the potential, but he couldn't crack the starting lineup. He couldn't even crack the backup lineup. So to get something there, I think that would be huge. I would love to bring in Brian Thomas Jr. Just, I mean, those player-for-player deals don't happen a lot. I would love it. But, man, that would be quite the shakeup for sure. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We get it. February is full of flowers, candy, stuffed animals, and of course, lots of talk about relationships and dating. And no matter where you are, whether you're married, dating, single, or just focusing on you, you're right on time. Therapy can help you find your way and see more clearly where you want to be. Now, BetterHelp does the initial matchmaking work for you, so you can just focus on your therapy goals. Short questionnaire helps you identify your needs, preferences, and with over 12 and a half years of experience, an industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. Now, if you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from the tailored recommendations. And with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on 1.7 million client reviews. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond.
Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush Road Trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush.
We got this one, Bobo saying Ricky is from Arizona. No, I know. I get it. I know he's from Arizona, but he went to college at Florida. He went to Arizona State and Florida. But I'm just saying, you know, in a part of the country where they saw him play pretty good football there at Florida, there may be some affinity for Ricky and Brian Thomas. I mean, to me, that's just an idea. Though, for you, Bobo, what do you think of this one, John? I also thought of kind of a three-way deal that I think kind of makes sense. There, you know, since we're off the reservation with player for player trades,
let's do it.
We might as well go with a three-way because they're, you know, what's next? You know, a blimp's going to hit the stadium. You know, we're going to just talk about things that aren't going to happen on this live stream. But this one makes sense, I think, on a lot of fronts. I was watching ESPN the other day, and they had the former Jets GM, Tannenbaum, Mike Tannenbaum. And he had his, hey, you know, Mike, we're going to map out where every single quarterback's going to go. You're going to tell us where every quarterback is going to go. And he's like, okay, yeah, I can do that. So he went through the list and said, this guy there, this guy here, and I'm just looking for it. I'm going to share it with you guys, and we can talk about it for a second. Here it is. Okay, so Tannenbaum says Miami's going to get Malik Willis in free agency. So the Raiders are going to go for Fernando Mendoza. We kind of could figure that one out. Then he says Arizona goes to Tua Tagovailoa. Vikings, he says, get Kyler Murray. And then he went on to say that Minnesota is the spot that all these quarterbacks want to go to. That's the spot. Kevin O'Connell, better offensive line, good organization, right? So a lot of people want to go to Minnesota. Falcons, he says, trade for Mac Jones. Jets, he says, sign Kirk Cousins and draft Ty Simpson. Steelers stay with Aaron Rodgers and kick that can down the road. Those are Mike Tannenbaum's guesses. So that's interesting. He's got the Vikings with Kyler and the Falcons with Mac Jones. But here's my three-way. What do you think of this trade? Minnesota, Cardinals, Niners. Okay. Minnesota gets Kyler Murray from Arizona. Minnesota gets Brandon Ayuk from the Niners. Arizona gets Mac Jones from the Niners. And wait for it, Ricky Pearsall, who's from Arizona, goes with Mac Jones. So now Arizona's got Mac Jones and Ricky Pearsall. Minnesota's got Kyler Murray and Brandon Ayuk. What do the Niners get? The Niners get from Minnesota Jordan Addison and a third-round pick. And the Niners get from Arizona Michael Wilson, Elijah Higgins, and a third-round pick. So the Niners wind up trading Ricky, Mac, and Ayuk. But they do get Jordan Addison. They do get Michael Wilson. They do get Elijah Higgins, who's a backup tight end from Stanford, who I think Lynch probably would love. And the Niners could actually use at this point. And a couple day two picks. What do you think?
For losing Ricky Pearsall and Mac Jones, you get three players and two picks. I'm freaking from a Niners perspective. Hell yes. Yeah.
Ayuk, I mean, Ayuk, I've seen rumored to be moved in a trade, so that I was going to ask you about that. But then, Ricky was a first. Mac is worth at least a second. So to me, you got to get like a first and a second value coming back. Jordan Addison, Michael Wilson, and a couple thirds, I think is probably pretty fair. And the Niners then get off of Ayuk, they move Mac, granted, in the division. They get off Pearsall, but they add Addison, who's a separator, Wilson, who's got downfield threats. Immediately, Addison, Wilson, and Higgins give you a lot more speed. And then you get a couple bites of the apple on day two. To me, I'd be totally fine with that.
Oh, sign me up. Yeah, 100%. Because Michael Wilson, I think, is kind of the key of the deal, right? Like, who gets the best player in this trade? I want to argue Michael Wilson is the best player.
I thought Addison.
You think Addison? Well, my problem is just the off-the-field stuff, right? Like, there's a little bit of worry there because his next suspension could be literally a full-year suspension. Hopefully, that's cleared up. But Michael Wilson, I'm sorry. Like, what that guy did, you know, I was at the Arizona game whenever he had, like, 180 receiving yards or whatever. Like, and he just kept doing it against everybody. Like, Michael Wilson is a guy that I just want to believe in. I love Ricky Pearsall. I hope he stays healthy, all those things. But in this fun, like, this is what we do in the offseason. We have a good time. We used to do this when we were kids walking to school. You remember? Like, what if we did this and this? Like, this is the beauty of the offseason where we can take a step back and just have some freaking fun. This would make the Niners better. And here's, I'll say this, Larry. If you told me the 49ers were going to give up B.A., Mac Jones, and Ricky Pearsall, and they were going to get Jordan Addison, Michael Wilson, Elijah Higgins, you can even throw out the third-round picks. Obviously, I'd like to have those as well. I'd take that three-for-three swap because you're turning your biggest weakness, which is the X wide receiver role, into one of your strengths. You'd have Jordan Addison who could play the X. You have Michael Wilson who could play the X. And you're getting Elijah Higgins, who has a tight end upside that could step in while, you know, Kittle's getting better with his injury. So this makes the 49ers better. Minnesota gets a quarterback, kind of, B.A., if they could coach, you know, bring him back. And then they'd have Brandon Ayuk and Justin Jefferson. That's awesome for them. Arizona, Mac Jones, Ricky Pearsall. I think they're kind of getting the brunt of this deal, if I'm being honest. But you got to get somebody in there. But the Niners get better in this trade, 100%. If I'm Niners GM, I'm signing on to this, and I'm totally cool with that.
All right, let's get – well, first of all, do you have any preemptive deal that you'd like to make before we get into how we may fill some of the needs and how we view everything? Do you have any deals that you'd like to make before – I don't want to shortchange you since I've thrown out multiple trades here.
I love it.
Okay.
The one that stands out to me, you talk Tenenbaum and, you know, that dude, what he did to the Jets. Let's stick with the Jets. They got Garrett Wilson over there, and they're paying him, and I know they want him to be their franchise guy, but again, no quarterback. What about, like, Mac Jones in a second, or Mac Jones with, a second and a third-round conditional for Garrett Wilson Jr.? Maybe even Mac Jones in a first, if it took that, but I'm a huge Garrett Wilson guy. I think that, you know, he took the money, which I can't really blame on play in New York, but, man, that just makes a little – too much sense. Again, probably not very likely to happen, but I would definitely be calling saying, hey, Mac Jones plus what to get this wide receiver?
I do love Garrett Jones.
Garrett Wilson. I think I misspoke.
Garrett Wilson. I had Jones on the mind because I was looking at a highlight of Mac Jones here. But yeah, I love that. I love Garrett Wilson. By the way, just to lighten the mood a little bit, for those who just haven't gotten enough of Mac Jones laughing,
he's awesome.
This is pretty awesome.
Well, there you go. Thank you. Do you want a race?
I mean, who doesn't like that guy? I mean, seriously, you know, the Niners, sometimes I wonder, what if the Niners had just drafted Mac Jones? We wouldn't have all the Trey Lance stuff. And what would Mac Jones have done? Would Mac Jones have a Super Bowl ring? You know, I don't know. But, where are you on Mac Jones as far as trading Mac Jones? Because I can kind of tell by that last trade that I value Mac Jones higher. Like, I'll give you an example. I think Mac Jones is better than Sam Darnold. I really do. I think I watched them both practice for an extended period of time. Sam Darnold's got a little bit more juice in that arm, a little bit more. That's it. Everything else about the quarterback position, Mac Jones is better. Mac Jones is more accurate. Mac Jones processes what he sees faster. He can get the ball out, I think, from better or more assorted arm angles, different platforms. Neither's mobile. Darnold's a little bit more substantial as far as maybe a little bit more, maybe 5-10 pounds heavier, a little bit sturdier. But Jones, I think, is definitely more accurate and sees it better. I think he's more like Purdy than Darnold. So I think Jones is really good. I really do. I like Jones. This guy's like, look at this guy, Billy Bang. Stop, Larry. You keep pushing this, but you sound insane because he's not better than Sam Darnold. Why? Why is he not better than Sam Darnold?
People because don't Sam, understand. Sam Darnold didn't look good with the 49ers.
Sam Darnold played one game with the Niners. He lost and threw a pick to the Rams on the goal line on his last play with the Niners. Sam Darnold doesn't see the field like Mac Jones. He doesn't have the accuracy of Mac Jones. You're just looking at Sam Darnold just won the Super Bowl. Yeah, he did. With an awesome run game and an awesome defense, and he had to make like a few throws in one game. That's it. I'm telling you, man, Mac Jones is better than Sam Darnold. And if you put Mac Jones in Seattle, he would do a lot of the same things that Sam Darnold is doing in Seattle. I really believe if Mac Jones were in Seattle, he would have won the Super Bowl. So that's my point, is that you're trading a quarterback that's good enough to win a Super Bowl in a market where I get it. Like, somebody's like, what's Mac Jones's price? His price tag in a totally neutral market, I think, would be like a day 3 pick or day 2 pick, like a round 3 pick. What's Mac Jones worth? Maybe a 3 and a 5 in a world where there's no supply and demand and there's no anything. You just, what's he worth? That's what he's worth. But then you mix in his contract, which is tiny and 1 year on it, which is basically an ideal contractual situation for the team trading for him. And then you mix in not just his contract, but also the fact that this guy's made a Pro Bowl. He just went 5-3, he played really, really well. And you mix in the supply and demand of, oh, you're offering 2 threes and we said no. Go ahead. We're gonna say no. You take your 2 threes and see what other quarterback you can get with your 2 threes. And then we'll come back and see if you're willing to pay our price. Because the reality is there is no quarterback out there that you're going to get that's better than Mac Jones for offering a couple third-round picks. So that's what his value is, a third-round pick. But if you mix in his contract, now he's worth more. And if you mix in the supply and demand of, if you don't get him, you're getting who? Malik Willis? I don't even know who you would be getting after Malik Willis. So only one Malik Willis, is only one Fernando Mendoza. There's like 10 or 12 teams that would like to get themselves a new quarterback. Because of supply and demand, you're going to pay a premium for Mac Jones. At least you should. And from what I can tell, the 49ers, there was some story where there was a quote from an executive saying, yeah, Kyle really wants to keep him and they're asking for the moon. They should ask for the moon. Because this guy could wind up, if you traded Mac Jones to a good football team like Minnesota, he could wind up in the Super Bowl like next year or the year after, and you could look really, really bad. So this idea that you just take a third and get down the road, there's no reason for that. That would be a great trade if there was a great quarterback rookie market and there was 5 or 6 guys in free agency that were out there. But in this marketplace where it's Fernando Mendoza, Malik Willis, or I think Mac Jones is going to fetch more than people think.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, shoot. I was an economics post-grad major, Larry. You're talking supply and demand and all that stuff. I'm all in. And whenever you talk Mac Jones, I'm going to go back. You remember Jerry Glanville back in the 90s? NFL, what's it stand for? Not for long. A lot of these teams don't get the advantage of waiting and solving their quarterback problems. There's too many chairs available and not enough quarterbacks to sit in them. And so whenever you get that temperature and that pressure turned up and it's like, man, you just saw 10 coaches lose their job in the NFL this offseason. Guess what? There's going to be probably 5 to 7 more coaches lose their job. If you don't want to be that guy, you trade for Mac Jones. Your job, not that it's necessarily safe, but you've got the most difficult position in sports figured out. Mac Jones, he's got multiple years. You know, you go back to his time at New England. You look at what he did at Jacksonville. You look at what he did with the 49ers last year. He's not going to lose you games. He's going to keep you in contention. He's going to keep you in the game. So, and you talked about how you value Mac Jones more for me. I've got some questions for you. Because if somebody offered a top 50 pick, I'm taking that no questions asked. If somebody offered me a top 50 draft choice this year for Mac Jones, I don't even care what team it is. I trade him in division. Like, I value top 50 picks. So, team comes up, Minnesota Vikings have pick 50. They offer you pick 50 straight up for Mac Jones. You taking it, yes or no?
No.
Oh, he hesitated.
No, I'm not. I mean, it's a great, once again, it's a great offer in a normal market, but it's not a great offer when I have you over a barrel. I have two quarterbacks and I can afford both, and you don't have a quarterback, and your GM just got fired if you're Minnesota. And if you go with JJ McCarthy, you're next. So it's really about his, it's about the, you know, Kevin O'Connell and his job. You want to keep your job? Here's Mac Jones. I'll take Jordan Addison in that third. You know, I want a third. I want multiple players. I don't want to do Mac Jones for one, unless it's a first. I don't want to do Mac Jones for one. I'll do Mac Jones for a third and a player. If you don't want to give a second, you can give me a third and a player. I'll take that. I'll take a top 100 pick and a player. But I got too many. If I'm the 49ers, I got too many holes to fill to just trade Mac Jones for one pick, unless it's an absolute slam dunk pick. And I don't see that happening, though. You never know. Maybe the Niners could use their first round pick with Mac Jones to move up. You know, if they decided they had to have Reuben Bain or something like that, they had to have some great player in the top half of round one. Maybe you could use Mac Jones with your first as a vehicle to trade higher into round one. But I mean, I would think long and hard about it, because I also don't want to get stuck, I could have moved Mac Jones, but I didn't. And now I don't win this year, but Purdy stays healthy. And I've got this asset that I could have traded in for, you know, maybe a starting caliber player, and he didn't play at all. And I didn't trade in the asset, and now he's walking away at the end of the year, and I'm getting a comp pick. So I'd like to maximize Jones if possible. Here's the other question. If you do move Jones, are you happy with Rourke and Adrian Martinez? And if not, who is that next quarterback? And I asked that question because there was this, you know, there was that Kirk Cousins thing last week, where Cousins basically came out and was like, yeah, man, the Niners, you know, the rise of the Niners or whatever. He really, that was a good documentary. I watched it start to finish. It's like, what? You watch it. Here it is. He says, really enjoyed watching the rise of the 49ers on AMC. Compelling storytelling of a head coach, owner, and players who shaped so much of what football has become. Hashtag rise of the 49ers. I mean, that was a 4-hour commitment. Now, I realize it's the off season, but are you telling me that Kirk Cousins, who's made hundreds of millions of dollars, has got 4 hours to throw away just on, I'm interested in football? I don't buy it. I think Kirk Cousins knows he's likely to come here. Supposedly the Falcons are going to cut him before the draft. And if you're his wife and kids, they don't want him to play at all. He's made $300 million. They want him to come home. And he's like, no, I want to keep playing. Why do you want to keep playing? We have all the money we need. Yeah, I want to win that ring. Okay, well, then what? You want to go play for the Cardinals? No. You want to go play for the Jets behind their horrible line? No. I think he's watching 4 hours on the Rise of the 49ers because I think he's going to join Shanahan and Purdy as the replacement for Jones as the number two quarterback. And I think the quarterback room is Brock and then Cousins and then the winner of the Rourke-Martinez battle and maybe the loser on the practice squad. I think that's the quarterback room next year. I think Cousins is going to be here. What is your read on it?
Well, you brought up Kirk Cousins' wife. I think the number two person who loves Kirk Cousins the most after his wife is Kyle Shanahan. Like, so it goes Kirk Cousins' wife, then Kyle Shanahan, and that might be a little bit of a battle in and of itself. Kyle loves this guy. It didn't even scout Patrick Mahomes because the idea of, well, we're just going to sign Kirk Cousins in the offseason next year. And so, obviously, he was the one responsible for drafting him. Whenever they were at Washington with his dad, they traded up for Robert Griffin. And then later in the day, said, hey, if you want another quarterback, Mike Shanahan told Kyle, you can get your guy late, probably round six or round seven if you want one. And Kyle was just adamant, get Kirk Cousins, get Kirk Cousins. Like, this is a Kyle Shanahan guy. That Shanahan loyalty program, we know, always goes back to the well. So it makes sense. He's got to get out of Atlanta, though. I don't think the Niners would trade for him. He'd have to be cut. And if they cut him, Atlanta about to lose another $10 million if it's pre-June 1st, if they cut him after June 1st. So that's one of those transactions that would have to take place after the draft. It just doesn't make sense financially for the Falcons to move on before, unless they get a trade partner, but I don't think the Niners trade for him. But like, if you tell me the Niners trade, get the type of haul you're wanting for Mac Jones, and you get to bring over Kirk Cousins without trading for him, that is just spoils on spoils. Your roster is going to get better with the trade of Mac Jones, the assets that you get in return. And then you also get Kirk Cousins, who, let's be honest, like, Kirk Cousins at this stage, Mike coin flip. He put up some really good tape at the end of the year with how Mac Jones plays. And you know he knows the Shanahan scheme. So I would love that. Got to get the biggest obstacle for me is the Falcons getting out of that contract and waiting all the way through the draft without addressing that need. You'd have to trade Mac before free agency, and you'd have to replace him after the draft. That would take a lot of patience.
Max Crosby owns part of Leeds. The Niners own part of Leeds. Does that mean, you know, it's like, it kind of goes back to my my high school math. If A, then B. If B, then C. If A, then C. You know, it's like, if Max Crosby owns Leeds and Jed owns Leeds, could Jed own Max? Anyway, you know where I'm going.
I love it.
What do you think is the revelation that Max Crosby is part of the UFC's partial ownership of Leeds, the soccer club, which the Niners also have partial ownership. Does that, you know, it seemed like yesterday, lots of people were dialing up their Max Crosby to the Niners trades. Does that make sense? Does it make sense for the Niners? They went all in on Trey Lance. They went all in on Javon Hargrave. They, you know, they've tried to do this shortcut thing with the great player. Do they do it again with Crosby, or is that a pipe dream? And is that maybe just not the right decision for the Niners? How do you see it?
I would love adding Max Crosby to any lineup. All 32 teams are better with him than without him. The contract works out relatively nicely. You know, you'd be paying about $30 million a year, which for that type of player, incredible. My biggest hurdle, again, like, addressing this from all sides, why in the hell would the Davis family trade to San Francisco? We did this with the Khalil Mack trade, where they took a less offer just because he didn't want to trade them to San Francisco. And so that's still the deciding factor. Now, Tom Brady's helping in that football decision, whatever else. I don't understand why they would trade him away. If I'm the new coach, Kubiak, I'm not trading him. If I'm the owner, I'm not trading him. If I'm Tom Brady, I'm not trading him. So from a Raiders perspective, which I really hate trying to diagnose right. anything from the Raiders perspective, because right, I feel right. like I lose IQ points, but I can't understand why they would. They're getting their quarterback in the draft, Fernando Mendoza, which, you know, we'll have to see how that pans out. But, like, why trade him to your biggest market rival? We live in the Bay Area. You still see Raiders fans. Like, they still exist. Why trade your and like, again, if you've been in Vegas and you've been in a Vegas, you know, team store, which they have all over the place, it's nothing but Max Crosby everywhere. Like, he is the big ticket item. So from a Niners perspective, again, and I keep going back to this, yes, you would get better. From the Raiders, I just cannot even see Davis picking up that phone. Everybody's betting the NFL in full do or die mode. College football down to the last teams, and the Super Bowl is just right around the corner. If there was ever a time to get involved in the game, it's now. And MyBookie makes it stupid easy to play. One account, one wallet, bet the spread, live bet the second half, hit the casino during the commercials. It's all in one place, and you've got the power. Go to MyBookie.ag now and use promo code 49ers, 49ERS, and you get your first bet covered up to $500. If it doesn't hit, use your bet back bonus token, run it back. Don't just watch the playoffs. Make them pay. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, Texas, California, no matter where you are, only at MyBookie.
He would rather never eat at P.F. Chang's again than trade Max Crosby to the Niners. Fact. And he's got a reservation tonight at 5, okay? So think about it that way. He's got a reservation at 5. He's going to get a quick haircut. Then he's going to get down there for a little P.F. Chang's. He's got his slide rule. He's going to bring that with him to the Supercuts. Then he's going to hit the P.F. Chang's, get a couple appetizers.
Kung Pao chicken, baby, or Kung Pao shrimp. That's what I get there. That's good stuff.
Yeah, seriously. It's good. It is good stuff. The key with P.F. Chang's, though, is don't order out. Eat it there. Like, I've ordered it out, and it's like, no, it just doesn't travel well. It's not quite the same experience. Just, you know, from Mark Davis and me to you, just take that for what it's worth. All right. Couple quick mentions, and then we're going to go speed round towards the finish line. The Krug Show, of course, is brought to you all season long by our friends at Sleeper. Quick shout out to Sleeper. You already know Sleeper for fantasy football and daily fantasy, but they've also rolled out something new called Team Picks. So Team Picks is built right into the Sleeper app and lets you make simple predictions on game outcomes. Instead of worrying about player stats or setting lineups, you're just choosing which team you think is going to win. It's real easy. It's supposed to be easy. It's designed to be straightforward and easy to understand. So especially if you like following games, but you don't want all that extra complexity, if you're already on Sleeper for fantasy, it's right there waiting for you. If you're new, Sleeper continues to be an all-in-one platform for allowing your teams or for following your teams and staying connected to the action. So thanks to Sleeper for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. Also, thanks to my good friend Anthony Catania and the good people at Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles. They are at 205 Cypress Avenue in Pacific Grove, California, on the Monterey Peninsula. Give Anthony a call. He's at 831-521-5264. Or you can connect with him via Instagram at sharpcorners831 on the gram. All right. let's hit the Niner needs here. I got 13 Niner needs. I'm just going to throw a need. You just throw a name, either in free agency or in the draft. I'll come back with a name. We'll go to the next spot. Quarterback 2. The Niners don't need a starting quarterback. Purdy's their guy. They may need a number 2 if they trade Mac Jones. They may not if they keep Mac Jones. So I'll just say it to you. Quarterback 2, who's it going to be?
Sam Ehlinger.
Really? The former Texas Longhorn.
Got to stay with the fam. I just feel like he's always needed to be in a Shanahan scheme. Hasn't really had that advantage yet. I think that they like Curtis Rourke, and I think that they want him to win that job, so I don't think they bring in a huge heavy hitter if Mac does leave. But somebody like a Sam Ehlinger or even a Zach Wilson or something like that to compete for that number 2, number 3 spot, I could see that. But Mac Jones is who they want it to be unless they get that haul you were talking about.
Yeah, I think they use Jones as a vehicle to rebuild, and I think Kirk Cousins is going to be the guy. But if it's not Kirk Cousins, I'll tell you the guy that I really love in the draft. You know, this year it's Mendoza, and then it's thought to be just a crappy quarterback draft. But, you know, just in watching some of the doing the deep dive on some of the quarterbacks in this draft, that second group of five, I really like. And the guy that I'm really enamored with is Mark Gronowski from Iowa. I really love this kid. First of all, why do I love this kid? He is 6'2", 235. Okay. So he's got good size. He's got 10.25-inch hands, huge hands. He's a mechanical engineering major who's already graduated from college, who's working on his master's. That's plenty smart. He's the winningest quarterback in college football, NCAA history. He's 58-10 in 68 career starts. He's a proven leader. He's a proven winner. This guy has a lot of Brock Purdy to him. He can process. He can run the RPO stuff. He can run the play action fakes. He's a great ball handler. He's got that gamer attitude, 58-10, experience in a pro style offense, leadership qualities. He's got the it factor, 4-time captain, MVP of the ReliaQuest Bowl at the end of the year against Vandy. Then he went to the Shrine Game. He was the MVP of the Shrine Game. This guy is experienced. He comes from an athletic family. They said his arm strength wasn't great. He looked like he had the strongest arm of any of the quarterbacks that I saw in the East-West game. I like Mark Gronowski. Started at South Dakota State throwing passes Tucker Kraft. Yeah, and they won 2 national championships. Then he went to Iowa this year. He wasn't very good. 10 touchdowns, 7 picks. His accuracy is a question mark. He'll stare down some receivers. They say he lacks a big-time arm. These are the reasons he's going to be there on day 3. But there, all those traits I told you about, 6'2", 235, he breaks tackles, big hands, smart as hell, leader, winner. I'm trading back. I'm getting an extra day 3 pick, and I'm taking this guy, Mark Gronowski. I love me some Mark Gronowski. All right. Running back. Niners are going to go for a running back. And the question is, are they going to go for a good running back? Are they going to move Christian to receiver? Are they going to make Christian more like a Gibbs, like a scat back? I think they need a significant running back. I was on with Dieter yesterday, and he was like, he thinks Najee Harris is coming here. I like Najee as a fullback and as a jack of all trades, like replacement for Juice. Eventually, power back, short yardage back, but I don't like Najee as he's not a fit in this offense. He's not fast. So go ahead, John. Running back, who they need something to compliment Christian. Who is that something?
I think they're really high on Jordan James, and I think that he has the inside track to the number 2 job. I think they're very high on him, but you have to bolster that room. Kenneth Gainwell, I think, is one of those guys that can do it all, that's not going to break the bank in free agency. And if you do draft Penn State's Nicholas Singleton, big bodied, fast, quick, can kind of do a little bit of everything. Again, kind of a round 3, round 4 guy. Niners have a lot of picks in those areas. So I'd prefer Kenneth Gainwell. I want somebody that's actually going to play. I'm tired of him drafting these running backs in third, fourth round that never play. But Jordan James should get the inside track. Then Kenneth Gainwell, that's what I'd like to see.
Those are great names. I love the Gainwell idea. That's a great idea. I like the backs that I've fallen in love with in the draft lead up. Kalon Black from Indiana. Mm-hmm. The leg strength. I know there's bigger, faster guys. I just love that kid. He's got tremendous heart. And then there's a kid from Florida International named Kajon Owens, who's a really speedy back who just looks like an ideal fit for Shanahan. Those are two of my favorite backs in the draft. I also love Jadarian Price from Notre Dame. He's probably going to go in the second round, but I love Jadarian Price.
Daniel Jeremiah said he's not going to be shocked if he goes round 1 yesterday.
Love him. Yeah, absolutely love him. He's got hands. He's explosive. And now he's not a proven every down back because he's been running behind Julian Love, but he's a hell of a talent. All right, tight end. They got Kittle, but that's all they got. They got Kittle and they got Tonjes. Farrell was a disaster. Braden Willis is just a guy. They need a significant tight end, if not two. Who are your guys?
Man, this tight end free agency class is awesome. There are so
many.
It's
going to get better.
It's going to get better. David Njoku would be the one that I would want to add just because he fits the 49ers mold for this hyper-athletic do-it-all tight end. But Cade Otton, like, that is the cheaper option that the 49ers tend to go after in this free agency cycle. Somebody that can block, do the tough yards, do the tough catches, do whatever needs to be done. Really would like to see it. And if I'm going to be honest with you, dude, I want Jake Tonjes getting way more looks. I'm tired of Jake Tonjes just not getting on the field at all when Kittle's healthy. Yeah, the Farrell experience needs to be over. But, dude, let's get Tonjes a little bit more action. He could be a pass-catching option at minimum. But Cade Otton's a guy that I would love to see.
Yeah, that's a good name. He's a really good player. I'll tell you this. I mean, I think that you know, the Niners, there's some really intriguing free agents, like, and guys that are going to be off. You know, I saw Cole Kmet could get cut. They're saying TJ Hockenson could get cut. I saw Tommy Tremble could be a cap casualty. This is an aisle where I think the Niners really have to shop. Why? Because the guys who get cut aren't part of the compensatory formula. So if somehow somebody offloads Tommy Tremble and cuts him for cap purposes, you could go sign him. He doesn't count against the whole formula that determines the draft pick compensation picks at the end of free agency going into next year. So I think that's a big thing for the Niners. I like Tommy Tremble if he gets cut, but if he doesn't get cut, Cole Kmet's not bad. If he gets cut, there's a lot of talk that he will, but the two guys I really like in the draft, I like the Stanford kid, Sam Hauser. He's not a great receiver, but he's a really strong body blocker, and I think he could be a really good six-round pick. And then I love R.J. Maryland, which is Russell Maryland's son who played at SMU. He's 6'4", 240. He's got great receiving skills. I love him as maybe an undrafted guy. All right, wide receiver. They may need multiple wide receivers. I like Brian Thomas and Jordan Addison and the idea of trading for veterans, but there's Romeo Doubs. There's Alec Pierce. The free agent receivers are going to get overpaid. There's just no question about that. I've looked at some of the projections. It's like, you got to be kidding me. $28 million a year for Alec Pierce. There's no question that the Juwan Jennings may get north of $20 million. That he ain't coming back if that's the case. And if he's not coming back, they have wide receiver crisis right now with the Niners because they're running out of dudes. They don't have anybody they can really depend on. What do you do at wide receiver? Who are you looking at?
It's one of the worst wide receiver rooms in the NFL. It's not even like it's bottom three, no matter how you slice it. And that's even if Ricky Pearsall comes back, is dependable and plays, you know, a full season. You've got to address multiple. Yeah, you have to. Romeo Doubs just makes too much sense because it's a cost saving starter that could play X. And you can work in Jordan Watkins. I think that is an option that is there. Wandale Robinson, who you've brought up, could play that slot role, which you do not have filled. That's an issue as well. But, man, one of my favorite players in the draft so far, and he's not getting enough love, is Tennessee wide receiver Chris Broussel II. 6'5", 200 pounds, downfield threat that could shut down at the top of his routes. My comp for him is a taller Devontae Smith, and everybody keeps talking about him being a second-round pick, and that's fine with me. I think after the combine, he's going to be a lock at the back end of round one, so if you're going to draft an X, Chris Broussel II, he might have the highest ceiling of any of the wide receivers not going top three in this draft. I'm a big fan of this kid, so if you can get him in the second round, I'd take that pick right now. I'd prefer to go outside wide receiver. Like, I don't want to draft a wide receiver round one. But if you could wait till round two or trade back, Chris Broussel II out of Tennessee. I'm telling you guys, his tape is phenomenal.
I'm going to share this because I don't believe I'll get nabbed on this one here. I do. Here's my second round receiver that I love. There's a bunch of receivers I really like, and I like Romeo Doubs, free agency. But I love this kid from Georgia State. Ted Hurst is his name. Mm-hmm. And here he is. He's a 6'3 receiver. This is him down here in the bottom, going across the middle. And watch him just run away from everybody here. Look at that. It's a big kid. Now, granted, Georgia State, there's going to be some development there, but there aren't too many FCS receivers that I really like because I just think the jump is so significant. But this kid, Hurst, is the real deal. I mean, he can separate. He's big. He's got strong hands. He's tough. I really like this kid. I think he's going to definitely be there in the third round, but if you really want to make sure you get him, you probably take him in the second round. I really like Ted Hurst. That's a name I love Romeo Doubs. Don't get me wrong. Romeo Doubs would be great in free agency. And, you know, who's the other guy that you mentioned?
Chris Brazel.
Well, no, you also mentioned the guy from Kentucky who plays for the Giants, Wandale.
Yeah, Wandale.
And it's funny, Dieter's like, yeah, he's not a scheme fit for the Niners. It's like, oh, really? I didn't know there's a wide receiver scheme.
Trent Taylor, I mean, shoot, you played that role.
Wandale, I think, you know, why? Because he plays in the slot? Because, I mean, I think he's, if you saw him at Kentucky, this guy was a star, and they moved him all over the place. So I like Wandale. I mean, think about it. He's played on horrible Giants teams with terrible quarterbacks the last couple of years. He's caught 90 balls a year. What would he do in the Niners system? I think a guy like that would be unbelievable. We have this one, too, on the chat. He says, no to KC Concepcion. He's undersized. I don't think he's undersized at all. You're talking about a 6 foot, 6'1" guy is about 190 pounds, 195. He's tough. KC Concepcion would be a great pick for the Niners. He's explosive as hell. I mean, I'm an A&M fan. I watch A&M all the time. This guy is a big time mover. I really like him a lot. Another name that people are throwing out here, we got this one from MNS, Malachi Fields. Really like Malachi Fields. Offensive line. You got an offensive lineman?
Yeah, if you're going inside, like a plug-and-play guard in this draft, they're available. And there's two guys I really like. Georgia Tech, Keelon Rutledge.
Yeah.
That's a guy you can get. And Iowa, Logan Jones. Like, perfect scheme fits. Like, plug-and-play. Just put them at left guard. You're done. Now, if you are going to go offensive tackle and then try to kick them in, probably one of my favorite players this entire draft is Monroe Freeling out of Georgia. Like, watching his tape is just so exciting. Like, he is the quintessential offensive tackle outside zone player. He just fits everything that the 49ers love. Draft him. You can kick him into guard. I don't think he'd be exceptional at guard, but eventually step in at left tackle. Like, if I had my way, now I think Morgan Freeling goes top 20 personally. But the Georgia offensive tackle, if the Niners could spend that first round pick, number 27, if he falls for some reason, because he's probably just a zone scheme fit, not going to be a power gap guy, gosh, man, put him at left guard. Whenever Trent does ride off into the sunset, you kick him to left tackle. 49ers finally invest draft capital in the offensive line. Who would guess? Premium draft capital in the offensive line. I would absolutely be the happiest man alive.
You know, Field Yates has been talking this guy up for weeks as well. He really likes him. I don't know. I don't see super special there, but I haven't studied him. The guy that I'm impressed with is this guy right here. And he's, once again, we're not going to get flagged on this, but this is Ione from Penn State. Here he is, 71. Yeah. And just watch this guy. I mean, the Niners need right now this position. They need the left guard. Burford's going to leave. And to me, if this guy's there at 27, I don't think I would pass.
Oh, I'm with you, too. Like, again, another guy that I think goes top 20. He's just too clean a prospect.
And look at him driving this. Look at this. I mean, that's like Blindside stuff. I mean, that's like Michael Oher in the Blindside movie. I mean, this is a really, really broad, wide body, strong, tenacious. Look at him just driving that guy down into the ground. 20 yards downfield. I mean, it's like, that's crazy. And Penn State, I mean, I kind of, heck, you know, years and years and years ago, I can remember Steve Wisniewski coming out of Penn State and just watching his film and how dominant he was as a guard and thinking, man, this guy's going to be a great pro. And sure enough, he went to the Raiders. He had a phenomenal career. I see a lot of the same traits with this guy. You know, this guy's wider, bigger, probably at least 30 pounds heavier than Wisniewski ever was. Wisniewski was probably like 305, but this guy is like 330, but he's just a monster road grader. I think the Niners, if they're going to look for a starter in the draft at offensive line, it's probably more a guard than a tackle this year. I would love to see them get Emil Wagner on day three or maybe day two from Notre Dame. I think he's a really interesting player. All right, how about defensive tackle? They need a defensive tackle rusher. Is there somebody in free agency or the draft that you like?
Yeah, I'm real big on the draft class. Like, when you're going D lineman, draft class is kind of where to go. Now, there's a lot of edge guys available in free agency. But, man, if we're talking, you know, defensive tackle, whatever, I want these guys that can move. The Texas Tech kid, Skylar Gill Howard. Well, Lee Hunter's amazing. Don't get me wrong. But I'm talking later because I don't think that – I think you need a pass rushing defensive tackle. But you do have a lot of youth in that room. Yeah. You bring it back Alfred Collins, bring it back CJ West, bring it back Kalia Davis. That's three. You need somebody that can pass rush with speed, 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 speed. Skylar Gill Howard out of Texas Tech is one of those guys that's just a slasher. And so, like, if you're going to just keep doing NASCAR and kick all the ends inside on pass rush downs, that's cool. But, yeah, there's a lot of talented dudes there.
Well, this is Kristen Miller from Georgia. I know the Niners went Georgia last year. This guy's pretty freaking amazing. I mean, I don't know how much you've watched of Christian Miller, but he's really strong. He's a great athlete. He's more of a rusher, I think, than a run defender. But that's what they need. They need a one-gap penetrator. I also like Zane Durant quite a bit. I like Caleb Proctor. How about defensive end? Is there a defensive end that you like that isn't Crosby?
Yeah, that's the thing. You look at, dude, I want a pure pass rusher. That's my favorite player in the NFL, and I'm just going to keep saying his name, Cameron Jordan. Had one of the highest pressure to sack ratios. I know it's a legacy pick, and he's long in the tooth, whatever else. Dude, I would love Cameron Jordan just to come in and rush the passer on this team. I think you can get him relatively cheap, maybe $6, $7 million a year. But there's a lot of guys in this free agency market. You want speed, you go get Owe. You want to
Owe had down a great guy. Run with the Chargers at the end of the year. He looked great.
There's so many guys. Boye Mafe, you know, a cheaper option Boye there. Mafe. I want, because, and you alluded to this earlier, I'm not for bringing Bryce Huff back personally. I thought his last 10 weeks were abysmal. I would, and he has no guaranteed money left on his deal. I would walk away from that. I would spend that, you know, $5 to $6 million on somebody like an Arnold Ebiketie. You know, go get somebody, even like an Arden Key you've had before that you know works and can play multiple spots. There's a lot of edge guys available in this class, free agency.
Yeah. What do you think of this guy? I'm an A&M guy. This is Cassius Howell.
Oh, he's incredible. You know, he's small.
He's 250 pounds. In this point, this highlight, he's in a two-point stance. He's in a two-point stance here, and he's playing the run. But this guy is a difference maker off the edge. His first step is amazing. He had like 11 sacks. He really does. He's 245, 250. He's not 270. But, you know, so
he's going to dominate the combine, Larry. His change of direction, like, I wish everybody still did three cones. Like, he might break a record. Like, he is so shifty. Bend, energy. You know, I hate A&M more than anybody. I love this kid. I love this kid. And he's projected to go in the 20s. So, you know, edges usually get pushed up. Quarterbacks, tackles get pushed up if he hangs around, because threshold teams will not draft him, right? Like, the Colts ain't drafting that dude. And so, like, the people that want the arm length and the Trent Baalke's and all that, that's not a Cassius, you know, type team. But for the 49ers, man, you've got all the big dudes outside already. Go get somebody that is just going to rush and do that NASCAR and all that stuff. He's awesome, man. He loves the game of football, and you can see that on silent tape.
He is fun to watch for sure. I love the idea of Boye Mafe and taking a piece away from Seattle. How about linebacker? Is there a linebacker you like?
Man, again, free agency linebacker, that's where I want them to go. I do not want them to draft here. I want experience. You've got Nick Martin. You've got D Winters, you got Tatum Bethune. You have these youth guys that aren't quite developing at the rate that you would hope. Man, go get somebody. I don't even care if they're older. You Quay Walker, Caden Ellis, Devin Bush. Like, there are guys out there. Names. Alex Anzalone. There are so many guys available, and the linebacker position is so devalued, they're not going to break the bank. You're talking $7 million for a starting Will linebacker. Hey, come sit next to Fred Warner for your final contract and go compete for a Super Bowl and just fly around and hit people. We're going to make it easy on you. Like, who don't want to play next to Fred?
To me, this is where the Niners have regressed the most. I mean, this is where they used to have Aziz and Warner and Greenlaw. They were all young and fast. They could all fly. Now they're Wallow and Kendricks and slow. Here's the guy that I love. Now, when I watch film, Josiah Trotter, Dieter was talking up the other day, and I do like him. But this is Harold Perkins, who was a five-star for LSU. Now, this guy played this hybrid star position. So now you see him up here as a defensive end. You're going to see him as a safety, almost like a Derwin James type. But the thing that I would say, watch on this, watch number 7 here on these films and watch his ability to close space. I mean, you're talking about one of the fastest second-level defenders in the entire draft. He's closes space instantly, and quarterback couldn't even get rid of the ball there. Here he is off the edge, kind of ducking in, making the play against the run. Just tremendous. Here he is on just chasing down the quarterback, hits the quarterback before the quarterback can throw it.
He's that new undersized kind of 6'1", 220 linebacker that is just a playmaker. You know, you just put him out there, and he's a football player who happens to play linebacker instead of the other way around. You just get him on the field.
Yeah, really, really nice. I like the LSU kids quite a bit, and I love Perkins. Is there a safety that you're looking for in this draft?
Again,
or like, this offseason, I should say.
Yeah, like my whole thing is you have 3 young safeties on rookie deals in the room. Go get experience. Go get Jaquan Brisker, who is responsible for the best safety play ever in Jair Brown's career back at Penn State. That was the last time Jair Brown was like elite. Go get him. Kevin Byard. I know he's long in the tooth, but that dude just keeps making plays. Nick Cross, like, go get somebody with experience that can be where you want them to be. One thing I am excited that's not about personnel, Jerry freaking Gray being the defensive back coach.
Like
this
that.
Dude has coached, I went through and tallied, 17 Pro Bowlers at the defensive back level. Like, the dude's just done his work. And so I'm pretty excited about finally the defensive backs getting developed. Last time the 49ers could say that, I know it's going to hurt some people's ears, with Steve Wilks being the DC. DBs have not improved their play since Steve Wilks was here. He had his other issues, but it would be nice to get quality defensive back play for a change.
Yeah, no question. I like the name. You know, to me, there's two guys I love. One is in the draft, the LSU kid, AJ Halsey. You know, you're talking about 6 foot, 220, hits like a truck, 10 career interceptions, great ball production.
He's just as big as the linebacker you just brought up from LSU. Isn't that funny? Like, they're the same damn size.
I know, and I love this kid. The other one, the other guy I like is I like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. You know, I mean, he's nasty. I'd like to have a little bit of nasty there.
I like the dogs that defensive back room. When we coach, we're like, all right, this kid, we're playing DB. Like, I don't care how big he is. He's what we want attitude-wise. We're going to see if it works. And a lot of times it would.
There's an ASU kid named Miles Rouser, who's like an old-school throwback, probably a day 3 pick. Last one, corner. I like Tariq Woolen, and I like the idea of taking Woolen away from Seattle. Gigantic 6'4", 6'5", corner, edge setter against the run. I know he's been inconsistent. He's a little raw. He needs some coaching, needs some discipline. But I think Tariq Woolen is a difference maker. I'd like to take him away from Seattle.
Yeah, I'm cool with that as well. The athleticism would be nice. The size would be nice. I'm going to go 2 guys in the draft. And I love Keontae Scott out of Miami. I think that he's just a fun player. And Pons. Like, I don't know what you do. Like, can you really go out and play against 13 personnel with D'Angelo Pons and Upton Stout, you know, as defensive guys? You look at the weight, it's just like, dude, is he going to test in over 170? I don't even know. I don't care. I want guys that love football and play the way that they play. Upton Stout was the best draft pick the 49ers had last year. Find a way to go get, D'Angelo Pons. I don't care. Get him out there. Like, I don't care. I understand the measurables matter. When he puts his pads on and he plays against whomever, I'm taking Pons almost every single time. He's going to fall in the draft, but like, that's 2 guys I'm just like, I don't care. I want that guy to wear my uniform and to represent the team that I coach or play for. Go find a way.
I'll tell you, if I was going to go a theme in this draft, I like the LSU prospects. I've already outlined a few of them. But to me, if I could have a theme in this draft, I'd go for the Indiana kids. Yeah. I love Kalon Black as a running back. I love Omar Cooper as a receiver. I love D'Angelo Pons as a corner. I love Pat Coogan as a center. I love Mikhail Kamara as a defensive end. So they got a bunch of guys there that are really good prospects across the board. And I kind of like them all. And I would try to get as many of those guys as I possibly could. All right, we'll finish with this. We're, of course, brought to you by Pig in a Pickle. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. And, of course, we're also brought to you by our friends at Sleeper. Thanks to Sleeper for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. But let's also shout out Habas Law. If you need a good attorney, Habas Law is for you. 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. HabasLaw.com on the web. You know, you get into an accident, insurance companies try to dodge. They try to shift and dodge and not pay and stall and deny. And these guys know all the tricks in the book, and they basically uproot those guys out of there. They make them pay you. So you need an experienced attorney. You know, do you have an experience? Probably not. Neither do I. And that's why we need experienced attorneys. Habas Law, 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. If you want to win, call them. 1-800-INJURED. All right, let's hit our supers, and we're bolting for the door. We got this one from David, who says, hey, he's become a YouTube member. Always a little golf clap for our new YouTube members. Thank you, sir. We have this one from John. He says, I know you all are down on Ricky. He's going to bounce back. Focus on the O-line and edge and free agency. Get a wide receiver and safety in the draft. You're both awesome. I'm not down on Ricky. I'm just done with Ricky. You know, Ricky's a good dude. He's just glass and can't play for me anymore. But I'm not down on him as a guy. I like him. Here's the thing. Are you familiar with the Jonathan Kuminga theorem, which is you have an asset and you had people offering you things for it, for him or for that asset, and you denied it. No. We love him. And then you traded him for Porzingis. Why? You waited. You devalued him. You held him too long. There's, you know, sometimes you can hold on to things too long, and they lose their value. Right? People are like, hey, don't trade Ricky now. Let's see what he does this year. And if he doesn't play well, then trade him. No, you don't get the whole world of trading. If he comes out this year and plays poorly, he has no value. If he comes out right now and they trade him, you could get something for him. It's still speculative. He's still right now a product of bad luck, and it give him time, and it's just a matter of time, and he's shown glimpses. If he goes through all next year and scores no touchdowns, you're not getting a bag of chips for him. So what I'm saying is, I don't want a bag of chips for him. You drafted this guy in the first round. He needs a change of scenery. Brian Thomas needs a change of scenery. Flip them for each other and double win. Niners win, Jaguars win, Ricky wins, Brian Thomas wins. We're all winners. It's like the United Way. All right. John says, okay, we're not down on Ricky. We love Ricky. We just don't want Ricky here. I just don't want Ricky here. And Ricky, if you're watching, I love you, man, but it's time to go. Mason says, Zion Young or forfeit your pick? I do love Zion Young. So many of the mocks that I do, when I get down to 27, I'm like, man, do I trade back for a Pons or something like that? Or do I just take Zion Young?
And I'll 6'5", 260. It's what the Niners love at end. They love that.
He's a beast. Silent. Purdy ain't afraid to throw into traffic, and he is shorter. Why not draft Brazil and Fields for him to throw to? We already have small, shifty wide receivers. Yeah, my only question for both those guys will be, how well do they run? Brazil's 6'5", 6'6", long arms, high points the ball. He looks like he's going to run. To me, just without knowing anything about him and just watching his film, I'm going to say he's going to run 4.49.
That'd be a good time for him. That'd be good.
Yeah. And but maybe 4-5-2. I mean, I can that would be my range. For Fields, I think he's slower.
I think
he's going to run 4-5-5 to 4-5-9 in that range.
4-6 would be where, and you know, for certain positions, the 40 matters. Wide receivers, one of those. Outside wide receivers, one of those, because you have to stretch the field vertically. Corners, one of those as well. But yeah, anything under 4-6 is good for Fields. Anything under probably 4-5-5 is good for Brazel. But we'll see how they test out. It's a big,
I will
big
say
week
this.
Coming up.
There's a guy for Oregon that Daniel Jeremiah was talking up the other day. Benson. Have you heard of that receiver? Benson for Oregon. Guy flies, Johnny. I mean, absolutely flies. I don't know exactly what his 40 time is going to be, but it is going to be prolific.
Oregon's always got those track guys out there, man.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'd be a little leery of drafting a track guy, but I do.
Malik Benson, 5'11", 185. There he is. He's you know, undrafted free agent territory, but speed demon.
Yeah, speed demon for sure. I also like Kevin Coleman from Missouri, and you know, he's a true burner, real difference maker. We got this one as well from Tommy Huxley. This is the best duo in YouTube history. Love you guys, man. Thank you, Tommy. Appreciate it.
You, brother.
Johnny is outstanding. That's why we love streaming with him. Dale says, do not sleep on North Dakota State quarterback Cole Payton and Bryce Lance. That's Trey Lance's brother. I will say this about Cole Payton. I mentioned to you before, I don't like the starting quarterbacks at the top of this draft. I really think they're dramatically overrated, John. I mean, there's Mendoza. Then there's Ty Simpson. Ty Simpson I kind of like, actually. Nussmeier showed me a little bit. But like Carson Beck, no. Drew Aller, no. Cade Klubnik, no. So those are like the top five or six, okay? That's like the first group. To me, this is the group that I like. Cole Payton, North Dakota State. He's a lefty, 6'3", 230. He's got a good arm, mobility. There's a lot to like there. Jalen Daniels from Kansas, 6 feet, 220. Moves around really well, but I really like what I see. I already told you how much I love Gronowski. Haynes King from Georgia Tech is tough, really, really tough. And the guy you got to study is Jacob Clark from Missouri State. 6'4", 220, good arm, moves pretty well, really, really, really accurate. So I kind of like that second five group of quarterbacks, and Cole Payton's on that list. As far as Lance's brother, I'd have to do more studying on that. I think I'm going to steer clear, but I think he's a better prospect than Trey, believe it or not. James Foster, how will the 49ers replace Kittle and Jennings 15 touchdowns? Yeah, they're going to have to. It's time to go get some veterans here. You know, maybe a veteran tight end, maybe a veteran receiver, maybe a veteran running back. You know, to ask rookies, especially at receiver, to step in is probably a tall ask. We have this one from Kid Trixta. Ricky sucks. Toledo wide receiver Harry Balzac. Sleeper.
He got you on that one.
Thank you, Kid Trixta.
Love the name, though.
Kid Trixta. I always fall for it. Ricky sucks. Toledo wide receiver Harry Balzac. Just in case we didn't get it the first time. And that's one and that's two. So he's doubling down there. Thank you, Kid Trixta. It wouldn't be a Saturday without Kid Trixta. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to Johnny. Thanks to Habas Law. Thanks to Sleeper. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle. Thanks to Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles. Johnny, I'll give you the final word before we bolt for the door and go enjoy our families on this Saturday.
My thing about the 49ers this offseason is you have a lot of the foundational pieces in place. The roster as it currently resides, it's not a completed project. You still have free agency. You still have the draft. They're going to add a good 15 to 17 more players to this. My hope is that in free agency, they actually sign a starter this year. Last year, they didn't sign one starter in free agency, and I think that hurt. The rookies played a lot last year. You had one or two kind of great picks, but the rest we'll have to wait and see. I'm excited for what the 49ers have ahead of them. This offseason is going to be a blast. Larry, I appreciate you bringing up all these names and just getting us tuned into who to pay attention to in free agency, the draft days 1, 2, and 3, and undrafted free agents. It's going to be a fun offseason, and I hope we got a lot more shows together. And for everybody else out there, man, stay strong, faithful. Appreciate
it. Hey, I'll leave you guys with one guy to go look up. Ooh. Here's your homework assignment. Go look up this player. He's a linebacker from Morgan State. His name's Eric Hunter. He has to be a 49er. Why? His nickname is E40. He wears 40 for Morgan State. His name is Eric Hunter. He's an awesome run and hit linebacker, and he goes by E40. How fired up would E40 be if the Niners drafted a guy whose nickname was E40? On that note, have a great Saturday, everybody. Peace. Yeah, never met a
man I've been scared of. Careful. Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus an extra $100 off all mattresses. End Saturday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.